Let's talk to Mike Ingram. He's the Chief Market Strategist for WH Ireland. Very good morning to you, young Mike.
Good morning, mate.
Right, what's going on in the world? Soapbox, 7 minutes, off you go.
Right, well, I mean, equity markets, we're clawing our way back, aren't we, after that horrible, horrible start to February. You know, some markets seem to have a bit of traction, particularly Europe, particularly the US, UK, I have to say, lagging behind. And I'm wondering to what extent that's a function of the macroeconomic environment, but also some of the company results that we're seeing. So first of all, on the macro, continue to see upgrades in the Eurozone, continue to see upgrades from US growth. UK, we've actually seen a tickle up, but we know the most recent print that we saw on the fourth quarter GDP number was actually a downward revision from 0.5 to 0.4 for the quarter. Yes, the previous quarter was 0.4 to 0.5, so you know, you could say it was a wash trade, but it doesn't imply that there's actually a certain lack of momentum going into 2018. And I'll be very interested to see some of the February data that we're going to see on Wednesday, such as the GfK consumer confidence in the UK, British Retail Consortium figures, for instance. So that'd be an interesting data point to look at. Now, at the microeconomic level, we're about 90% of the way through the earnings season in the US. So far, we've seen about a 4%-ish earnings beat, and the only sector that's really disappointed net-net has been oil and gas. Otherwise, it's been pretty strong across the board. We're about 70% of the way for earnings numbers in Europe. That's about a 6.5% beat. Little patcher on the sectoral basis, but you know, still pretty strong numbers. UK, unfortunately, about 80% of the way there. I had to believe my numbers when I looked. I rechecked them this morning. It looked like 14% miss.
14.14.
So definitely the wooden spoon in terms of earnings there. You'd have to say that was where they came out in 2017 as well. And what's been quite interesting is during the most recent market troubles, shall we say, it was really, again, the domestic-oriented stocks in the UK that took a step back. And again, to bring it back to the macro, you know, we're still seeing the squeeze on real incomes. We're still seeing inflation being quite sticky, shall we say. It's not going down in a hurry. And then to bring it back to central banks, which I think back to some extent kicked this whole thing off in the first place. You know, you had Dave Ramsden, you know, one of the deputy governors of the Bank of England over the weekend. He was one of the two dissenters for the interest rate hike in November of last year, sounding pretty hawkish. So, you know, we did see that, you know, the expectations of an interest rate hike in the UK in May ramped straight up to 80%. Markets eased off the gas a little bit, back down to 60. It looks like the Bank of England wants to push it back up again. And I bring it back to the even broader picture on central banks. What is making this climb back for equity markets, for risk assets, so slow and painful? Is there still lingering uncertainty about what central banks generally are going to do? Not just the Bank of England, but also in the Federal Reserve. Last minutes looked pretty hawkish. And again, if you look at some of these volatility measures, again, everybody's been talking about the VIX. I'm looking at the MOVE, which is the VIX equivalent of the US bond market. And that's been very, very slow to come back. And in fact, the last reading of it tickled up again. So there's uncertainty about what central banks generally are going to do. That's been a fantastic tailwind for markets in recent years. Right now, proving to be a bit of a headwind, even though we're getting actually some quite good macro and corporate numbers.
Okay, so global equity markets. Let's talk about the UK. Higher or lower for the next 3 months?
I think the big unknown is
has how the bear begun? Are we in ninth innings?
I think that the market in the UK took the glasses half full last year. I mean, you had some pretty bad numbers, again, particularly from the more domestic exposed stocks. And they just soldiered on in the main. I mean, you didn't see any great degree of underperformance from that sector, even though they were turning in worse numbers than, say, the miners and so on and so forth. So what we've seen in the first 3 weeks or so of this month has been a bit of payback as far as I can see. Now, not trying to dodge the bullet, I'm still puzzled, quite frankly, why we continue to have this very, you know, relatively positive narrative on Brexit. I know this is a political... See, the problem is with Brexit, it's a political process with economic consequences. You know, so we've had, you know, the Labour Party have come out with, oh, yeah, we support a customs union now. It's like, well, do you actually know what a customs union is? I think all along it's either hard Brexit or no Brexit, both of which will have significant political consequences, and that of itself will have economic consequences on top of the economic consequences.
Well, we've seen the Archbishop of Canterbury sort of commenting this weekend.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, I think if all else fails, that just argues for a bigger risk premium on UK assets, be they fixed income, be they gilts, or be they equity. To some extent, that's been factored in. I mean, the UK was an underperforming market last year. It's certainly an underperforming market this year. One thing I'm fairly confident on is it will remain an underperforming market because there's so much uncertainty. But we've got to look, we've got to see what's going to happen around this EU summit in March. It feels quite bad tempered at the moment, but you know, you've got people in Brussels, so you maybe that's something I should push over to you.
Okay. So, what would you do in terms of basically putting your WHO Ireland hat on, okay, managing portfolios and everything, okay? The risk profiles, okay? Are you getting lots of people saying, oh my goodness gracious me, I've seen the headlines, wow, this is dreadful, this is appalling, this is the start of the bear market, everyone's comparing it to 2000. What are you saying? Stay calm.
So the global growth picture seems to be panning out pretty much as we expected. You know, better growth in the US, better growth in Europe, better growth in Japan and emerging markets. And in fact, you know, the real laggard has been the UK. And you were seeing that at the macroeconomic level, as I said, and also at the company level. Interesting, you know, sort of anecdote, you had all four of the big banks in the UK report just last week. And it was quite interesting to see the market reaction to that. So, you know, for instance, I'd lift out Barclays in particular. So Barclays was a headline miss on the earnings, but the fact that they knew how all the buttons to push, you know, oh, we're going to restate our dividend, would they dangle the carrot of the buyback, etc. And market loved it. So whereas, HSBC, I think, brought relatively in line numbers. You know, they just said, oh, we're going to have a pause on a share buyback. Got hammered immediately. Now, what that tells or suggests to me is that people aren't looking for a growth story within that sector. And I would agree, you know, the top line potential is very limited. But basically, people are investing in that market for income rather than capital appreciation. It seems to be very, very defensive. And again, the flip side of that, as I said, there isn't a broader growth story out there. So let's see.
Right, on that note, Mike Ingram, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk to you 2 weeks today. That's Mike Ingram from WH Ireland.